Check.
Hello.
I gotta speak right into the microphone.
Hello.
Yeah, can I hear you?
Hello?
Yeah, you gotta speak into the mic.
As if you wanna be heard.
Hello.
Hello. Well, welcome to another episode of Long Sleeve Service Podcast. It's me, Torthel here, aka T Dot, aka Squirt, however you know me. I'm gonna hit you with another short episode here on a Tuesday, this lovely June 12th. It's really nice outside. We've had some shitty rain over the past few days. I'm pretty sure everyone knows we're in Philadelphia, somewhere on some side of somewhere. Got my man to my left, always. We're missing a couple people, but got my papa here.
Yep, Damien in the sheets, Papa D in the streets, and we have a new buddy here, a new old buddy, I guess. Matt Lana, Matty G, goes by at least one or two names.
Matty's Pat Stacks.
Hello. It's a sing-on.
The reason I'm laughing is because I think that is all that Matt will say for the rest of the show, which is kind of exciting.
Hopefully, like if I get away.
All right, you want to jump into your pre-shift playlist?
Yeah. Like I've been recently, I'm still like on a very chill vibe, and it's also a very summer vibe. I'm once again with Sir. The name of this song is All in My Head. It's another just like chill, groovy song to get you like going in a relaxed way. Set a positive tone so you don't come in with an angry attitude and just like snap off everything. Just come in with a good vibe. It's all about how you start your day, so.
And for me, I think we discussed this, but not only do I need most things to be sort of aggressive, I think harder music for me is cathartic.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, like to, for me to get into like a groovy vibe, I need that. Like I feel like I need to live vicariously the anger of someone else, and then I myself get settled down and like can like mellow out.
Yeah.
So I kind of showed up, believe it or not, unprepared for a pre-shift playlist. So I just thought of like the last thing that I was kind of like listening to, and it was Slayer, South of Heaven, off of the record South of Heaven. And I think kind of in back in the days of like when certain metal had like kind of like nice grooves to it. Matt?
Yeah, I went more of the hardcore route.
Yeah.
And I picked Hotheads, the demo from 2016. And I enjoy a groovy vibe, but when I'm getting amped up for work, I need something a little bit more.
As I was sort of inadvertently dissing Matt, but also probably dissing hardcore as a whole, I've often come to the conclusion that hardcore is basically metal for people who aren't good enough to be a metal band.
That's true.
So,
but I love it.
That's hilarious and offensive.
I mean, I assume they could take it. They're supposed to be real tough guys.
They're supposed to be tough. Yeah,
supposed to be real tough guys.
Yeah, I remember Matt actually helped introduce me to like all the derivatives of rock music, where I learned the difference between like hardcore and like metal.
You guys know each other from
the A.
Yeah,
Atlanta.
Back in the days.
But are you from Atlanta or?
No, I'm originally from Virginia. A little small town, Newport News.
Mm. Yeah. Little John Cougar Mellencamp fan gone wrong?
Nah.
I remember talking to you like when I first met you, and we were talking about like music, and I think that's sort of like our bridge into like palhood. But are you, Torthel, did you go to the shows that he booked?
Oh yeah. Torthel was there all the time.
Yeah, we actually got a warehouse together and like had a little venue for a while. Where we had shows.
What kind of shows?
All kinds. That's where I like kind of like learned all the different hardcore, metal, punk shows, straight edge hardcore shows.
B-boy shows.
Yeah, they've had some B-boy shows.
When we first got the place, Bone Crusher was playing upstairs.
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it was kind of a multi-use warehouse. There was a lot of bands that were like had studios or... There's an after-hours club in the back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was weird.
It was
yeah.
real CD just, that's spot.
We have like a crushed velvet lining the walls.
No, I mean that
they
place,
did. Yeah, for real. They did. It was like the old school ones with like just tarps of sheets. just nice sheets hanging. Room. Yeah, yeah, there's like sheet walls. Like, it's just a space with sheet walls and couches and bigger couches that could be beds. But yeah.
Saucy.
Yeah. Very weird. It's like $20 to get in, and we were like, fuck that, that was like mad expensive for us. He was like, yeah, it's cool for you guys, you can get in free, and it was like everything was free.
Awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a fun time in my life.
But yeah, Matt used to book all the shows, or the majority of the shows there. And
yeah, at first, and then yeah, it started going like a different route.
Yeah, so. But he was cool. A part of like the first show I always remember was because it was like a really big show for the scene, because I guess the band didn't play for a while. It was 25 to Life. I remember.
That was actually one of the only hardcore bands that was ever nice to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I was like a kid in suburban New Jersey, hardcore shows would play all the time.
Yeah.
And I'd show up, and all these hardcore kids were really like exclusionary. And I'd be like, all right, well, whatever. Like, I'm pretty punk rock. Like, I'm here. But I didn't dress like everyone. And I didn't know all the words to all the songs. And I was like, at some point, I was like, why do I come to these things? These things are totally dumb. Yeah. And I remember just like wandering around, like looking at merch stuff and being like scowled at. And the only band that talked to me and treated me as if I was a human punk rock being worthy of the same space was the band 25 to Life.
Well, it was funny how we got them. I saw that they had a break in their schedule, and at first when we got the spot, we wanted to make like a bike shop up front. Yeah. And live in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And since we had the open space, like it was huge. We had loading dock doors in the front. We had a like side door where like we let people in.
Over 2,000
square feet. The only thing we had in there was like a bathroom.
That we had stage. To build a wall for. Yeah. The bathroom was on the bathroom was on a stage with no walls. It was so funny.
We actually took down. There was like a wall when we first got into the place. Apparently before then it was like a frat boy like, spot where they had like a pool and shit inside of it.
Yeah,
like some kind of like where they got away from their wives or whatever. But
yeah, some like weird man cave.
So we started doing shows just for fun. Our second show, Annihilation Time, they're fucking great band. A lot of fun with that. And then from there, we just like we went all over the place. We're doing like 3, 4, 5 shows a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Is that
a couple of bands from Japan?
Is that how you made rent, kind of, or like not at all?
No, we didn't. We paid out of the pocket for the place.
Yeah. There's all these all big the money dreams that we got plans. From the
show. We just gave to the everybody. Bands. And if we had
we cover like the electricity bill most of the times, yeah. Or portions of it, but I mean it was like 4 of us splitting things, so.
I mean, we had
but you guys didn't live on premises though. It was mad cheap.
Yeah. Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
Some half and half.
Okay. I lived there for like a summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best time of year to live in a warehouse.
That was terrible. Our homies actually lived, they got the spot next to us, and they built like theirs out. It was really nice. And then there was this one year where it just rained so much in Atlanta and like flooded. Yeah. And they were just, I mean, it was like,
it was bad.
Two and we were like, feet water.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
It didn't leak into your spot?
Okay. Oh, it was all in it. Yeah.
Yeah, that shit was all up in it. And so, yeah, we had to cancel some shit for a while, but. Yeah. I mean, we had great bands play there. Germs played there.
Yeah.
A lot of great hardcore bands. Bane, Terror. Yeah.
It was a lot. It was a lot for me.
And what were you doing to make... is this when you started working in the industry? Or, like, was this post this time of your life? Like,
no, I was still working. I still worked at this bar at the time. We so all, I was doing being, that. Yeah. That and I had a girlfriend, so...
What?
And he had a girl.
How did you have time?
Yeah.
Do you list that on your resume? 2001, 2003.
What were you juggling?
What did I do?
Oh, my summer. Like, what
applied for a part-time position, turned into full-time.
I think it was even...
Got a raise.
Got a raise, got a couple raises.
Oh my god.
Fuck y'all.
It's like LeBron. Well, hey, you can always apply for free agency at your own time. You're not in any restricted contract.
Do you think LeBron's coming to Philadelphia? Is that where you're going with this?
Nah, I don't care if he does, but... Oh, the filter. Nah. Fuck, nah. I don't care. Nah. Do you think he really broke his hand?
I think he really broke his hand.
Okay, I could see him punching the wall.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's, like, so believable.
Did you watch that game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've stated... I think everyone at this point knows that, like, hockey's my sport, but, like...
It was a good week last week.
Basketball, watching that series, or I didn't really watch too much. I think I watched the first and the last game of the Golden State Cavaliers series. And that loss in the first game when, J.R. Smith.
That was, like, the loss of the series. That, like.
Yeah.
No one thinks about the series. They just think about that.
But him obviously thinking that they're up by one when they were tied.
Yeah.
That's something. And, yeah.
Yeah, and even after that, they found out that they had a timeout that they could have, an extra timeout that they could have used or something. Yeah, that whole last, 15 seconds of the game was like the whole series.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, hopefully next year the NBA will have a better product because it probably won't be the Cavaliers against the Golden State Warriors in the finals. So we'll see.
I see Boston coming back very healthy and young and experienced.
I don't watch basketball.
But that's my put. But you guys, you can tell me about Las Vegas. Was the dice rolling in the right way?
Las Vegas played Washington, and Washington pretty much dominated them.
Yeah, I think Vegas only got one game.
Yeah, it was 4-1, 5-game series. I was fine with either team winning. I think a lot of old hockey heads were upset that Las Vegas, a new team, even got that far. But at the same time,
that's still shocking.
You know, whatever. It's fun. And again, I think it highlights like the excitement that is the product of hockey is that kind of anything can kind of happen.
Like a whole brand new team can almost
a whole brand new team made up of like rejects, like a Bad News Bears kind of story actually almost happened. But Washington was just playing phenomenally.
You think that's gonna be a movie?
Nah.
You don't think Bronson's gonna be axed?
No way.
Bronson's gonna be like going to the premiere with his
no. It's nice, one season.
Nice wife because he's
it's one season.
Definitely he's a fucking, highlight. You know
he's a pro in the league by then.
No, I think that the movie will probably just be about the.
You were around that time.
Do you remember the Golden Knights? Where are they now? Yeah, so before every game, like the Golden Knights would have like this over the top like a medieval times.
Saw a little bit of it. It's crazy.
It was like really bonkers and totally kitschy. And again, a lot of old school hockey heads were like, "This is fucking stupid."
It's Vegas,
and I'm like,
though.
"Yeah, it's Las Vegas. It's supposed to, everything's supposed to be stupid
and over the top." Like whose idea was having a 3D show on the ice?
Well, I think that probably started. I think what happened was the Olympics started that.
Yeah.
And then people were like, oh, yeah, we have a clean white sheet. Let's project things. But what's fun? So Alexander Ovechkin finally won a Stanley Cup. He's probably been one of the top four or five dominant players in the league for the past, 13 years since he entered the league. And he finally won a Stanley Cup. And it's been hysterical watching all the social media record this entire team of where they are and like where they are with the Stanley Cup because it's apparent that they have not been sober for days on end and they're just wandering around with this Stanley Cup just like a big fun party wreck just all over the place and they're going to wake up next week and be like, when did we get these tattoos?
Oh yeah, so I'm surprised that hasn't happened yet.
I think they did get tattoos.
Fuck.
No way.
I'd love to be that guy. Just fucking somehow end up on the bus. Hey guys, who wants a tattoo?
Are you here for the tattoos?
Fuck it.
How did you get the Golden Knights tattoo, Dorthel?
I was just there. Oh, that is so awesome. Yeah, Matt, you're like a big hockey fan now, so how are you feeling about that?
I'm a newly hockey fan now. But I'm glad the Capitals won it. It was cool to watch.
It's close to the city.
Yeah.
could have made that trip today.
I thought about,
We planned it out.
You don't go to another team's victory lap. Fuck that shit. You don't do that.
I at least thought about going to one of the games.
Oh, I wanted to go to Delaware and gamble. You can do that now with sports.
Okay. Well, what stopped you, buddy?
It was just an idea. It's close by. I've still never been to Delaware, though.
Oh, we should
go. So far.
We've got some beaches we could go to.
Here, it just seems
it's all tax-free down there, too.
It sounds so far.
It's not. It's like 40 minutes away.
Yeah. All right. I've definitely been to the Greyhound Station in Wilmington.
How was it?
It was amazing.
Did you buy everything from the vending machine because it was tax-free?
No, I had no time.
That's a shame. Mm-hmm. You could have come back and probably increased your profits by at least 8% here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of your industry experience, Matt.
The Righteous Room.
We're doing bar backing, bartending?
Bar backing.
Yeah.
Working in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Is that your first time working in the kitchen?
No. I started working in the kitchen when I was 16. I started working at Chick-fil-A.
Nice.
Sick. Yeah. I did not know that.
In a mall. It was great.
You went there because you had the Sundays off?
Yeah. I mean, I could only work the weekends.
Yeah, it's like, Mom, I'm tired. I'm staying true. I'm staying true. Like, fuck.
Well, you could work after school.
Nah, I just, you know, that was for homework and stuff.
You're in a stunt team, weren't you, in high school?
Yeah, I was on the step team. Awesome.
You were on the step team?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Can you still, like, does your muscle memory still have those moves in you?
One or two, for sure.
Nice. And then you just moved to Philadelphia, what, 2 years ago? Is that right?
Almost 2 years.
Cool.
A year and a half ago.
And what brought you here?
Had some friends that lived here. The rent was cheap. A lot of restaurant jobs. Couldn't go wrong. Change of scenery. Seemed like a good move to me. And it's treated me well since.
Good recruiter over here.
Yeah. Thank you, Torzel.
Hey. Scouting.
Definitely opened the door.
Building the
me.
Team.
So I've just been trying to run with it. And, you know. So far, so good.
Do you guys have any interest in speaking on the Bourdain issue? I mean, not issue, yeah. That, like...
Well, there's... we can speak on... Yeah. I mean, rest in peace, Anthony Bourdain. Pretty sure everyone has binged a couple of episodes of his odd, weird foods eating. And, yeah, I guess I, like, came across one of his best, like, a quote of him was, like, our weird is someone else's delicious, and it's all about, like, where you're born, and I've always been, like, prominent on, like, people being products of their environments, and, like, always trying to reach out to, like, not be that, and working in the restaurant industry and working in the different culture, styles of food is, like, always been a hard thing for me to, like, push on some people in a way of, like,
wait, push what on people?
Just, like, not push, but, like, encourage people into eating. In a way of, like, I just don't get why people don't, like, have interest in trying different things. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are just, like, completely just set in their own, like, wherever they go to eat, they want the same thing and just, like, not experiencing things. And he always, like, made it look interesting and, like, gave it a poetic, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I always admired him, like, from his writing. Did you ever read Kitchen Confidential? Did
you guys ever read it?
I never read it.
It's pretty decent.
I should, yeah.
It's an easy read. I think it's worth reading. But I feel like his life as, like, an explorer of the world via food is just, like, a life ambition of mine, you know?
Yeah. That's always been, yeah.
Definitely, like, the greatest job, like...
Yeah, I mean, like, when I travel, like, it's basically the big three for me. It's like, when I go somewhere and I come back and they're like, how was it? I'm like, man, the food was awesome, the people were good, and, like, the drink was decent, you know? Like, you can't have a good time in a different place unless, like, those three are all sort of connecting, you know?
Yeah.
But for some reason, his death sort of shook me up a little bit in the sense that it seemed like he knew how to live life to its fullest.
It also came the same week as Kate Spade, the fashion designer. She committed suicide a couple of days earlier that week.
It's true, but to be frank, like, that death didn't directly affect me.
Yeah.
In the same way, like, I don't really know too much about even her designs. I know she's a designer. I don't know too much about her personally. I don't know too much about her designs. Yeah. Anthea Bourdain, I think, is a character that I definitely know, if not split amongst many people. It's definitely a lifestyle that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
And
I think it definitely did touch a lot more people than the Kate Spade incident, but it was also just another form of suicide that was just
there. Yeah. And I'm also, there's a part of me that also wonders if it touched industry people a little harder, because yeah, like definitely. Anyone can like a pop culture figure, but you know, he knows what it's like to work, say, in the kitchen. You know, he also knows what it's like to go. I mean, it seemed that he had a way to cut through bullshit of places.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, from watching a show and knowing some of the places that he went to, it's like he went to the places that I would aspire to go to.
Yeah.
Like the shitty spot and the high end spot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's like your ultimate, I mean, that's your night out.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the definition of your night out.
Right. I think that's what anyone should do when they visit a town. You have to go to like the hole in the wall, and you should probably treat yourself at least once on your trip to like a really nice meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, to me it kind of shook me up, because I don't think that he had it solved or had it all, but it seemed like he knew how to appreciate the things that you, or at least that I appreciate in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know,
I never got to travel outside the U.S. so
yeah, but it's traveling one thing inside
I
the city.
Strive for, I yeah. would do the same thing that he would do. You know what I mean? I would treat myself, and then I would definitely like try to go.
But I mean, even traveling inside—I mean, not the city, inside the country. You know, like this country's so humongous; it's so big, and in some sense, like to travel to—I mean, I just went to Arizona. Like, travel to Arizona is almost like traveling to a different English-speaking country.
Yeah.
You know, and they have like different sets of cuisines, and they have like definitely. Different temperature, and they're, you know, it's like there's so many different alien worlds.
Yeah,
like you go to New Orleans, and there's like, why
a lot
are you there
of people have been going to New Orleans lately. Yeah,
I think everyone should go there. I think it's one of the greatest American cities.
Yeah, you are big on New Orleans.
I love it.
Still haven't been.
You gotta go. Before it disappears.
He lost the city of New Orleans.
I mean, it is sinking.
Yeah. Anthony Bourdain, RIP. How do you hit you, man?
I don't know. I liked him. I like watching the show, you know. It sucks that he committed suicide. Loved his wife and his kid.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that also kind of like reminds me of an early episode that we did where we sort of like touched on like the idea of like men having feelings. I know that suicide is not like just a male thing, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Like him being able to express his feelings. Or like men not being able to express their feelings properly.
Yeah, it seems like men go through like one of two ways of dealing with it. They either like destroy themselves internally, or they destroy things externally.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like within the show, even we've talked about like who are these people that commit these shootings.
Yeah.
And it's usually it's like some guy who gets triggered. And I mean, I didn't mean that sort of faux pas there, but gets, you know, some sort of like thing happens and they destroy externally.
Yeah.
You know,
but there was always there was always like some point where they could have been reached. Maybe.
I mean, if they had coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw something. This was like a Canadian thing, but it was like this guy who, like, shoots someplace up. Doesn't hurt. I don't think he actually killed anyone. But basically, you see, like, this police officer approach him, and he takes, like, a cell phone out, and he pretends to kind of, like, shoot it at the police officer.
Yeah.
And, like, and he's like, come on, shoot me. And he keeps, like, putting the phone out. And he kind of messed up because it was a Canadian police officer, so the Canadian police officer does not shoot him.
Yeah.
but instead like puts his gun away when he realizes that this guy is basically just suicidal.
Wow.
And I don't know, men, feelings. We should like we should be
we should not
yeah in the year 2018 yeah. It seems like even just the outpouring of feelings we can do very easily on social media or something. It seems like we have outlets.
Yeah, there's outlets. I used to be a part of this broga group,
which is a
meant bro yoga.
Okay.
Glad you do yoga a lot. Well, haven't been lately, but was. And there's just a group of older men around my age, a little older, that would do yoga. It was like Monday, and we just had like a studio where we go to do our yoga, go hang out, have some beers, talk about life and shit. Mm. Little things like that, I guess. All right, even poker, like get out the house. Sometimes women need to let their men get out the house, and men need to get out the house on their own.
Yes, I blame the women.
No, sometimes you just gotta step away.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you know, you're like building, you might be trying to build some sort of relationship or whatnot.
I think everyone just needs an outlet.
Yeah, you need to.
No matter what your sexual persuasion, interests in life are, I think everyone just needs some kind of outlet.
Yeah. Like away from.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have like heavy music and books and gardening and, you know, like. You know, I don't know how everyone else gets through the day.
Yeah, you need something to do. But yeah,
let's just work all the time.
Yeah, man,
for fun.
You know what they say about idle hands?
Yeah, but
just work all day.
If you love your work, you never work a day in your life.
Yeah, love, live, laugh. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
Someone calls me up like, Damon, I'm not feeling good. I'm like, man, I got three words for you. Love, live, and laugh.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the best. So we're going to take a little break real quick. Come back and talk about...
You'll find out. Yeah. You'll be here.
Yeah. Yeah, we just got some Trump fuckery-ish in our systems. Our little weekly doses.
I was... talking to someone about this the other day. I was like, even when I was talking about, I think I was talking about this podcast, and I was like, you know, I feel like we started it thinking we'd be talking about something else, but every single week we have to talk about something like stupid politically.
Yeah,
like it's unavoidable.
Yeah,
you know, like, you know, you want to talk about the city of Philadelphia, you want to talk about the Eagles winning, and then we have to talk about him. It's so annoying.
I mean, it's,
I think he's the most annoying part, you know.
Yeah,
I don't mind talking about the Eagles.
Do you know what? I hate the fact that he's so like major every other day on some fuck shit. Like just nothing like really like
to presidential. Me, it's not even about him. I really appreciate like our mayor Jim Kenney. I don't know if you guys saw this thing, but it was like, what does he say? He's like he's meaningless. Do you know? And although he isn't quite meaningless, like I don't. I think it's slightly dangerous backslash lazy to just think that it's just Trump who is the problem. I think the real problem is that there are like 50% of this country thinks that he's doing a great job and still saying things like, just give him a chance.
Yeah.
You know, but all right. So anyway, we're talking about him now because this morning he finally met with the leader of North Korea, and Dennis Rodman was flown into Singapore, you know, to be...
there,
present
liaison.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was like preaching that he doesn't want to be a liaison, but yeah, he's somewhat of an ambassador.
He's the only American to meet both Kim Jong Un and Donald Trump.
Yeah, privately. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he met Trump. Has he met Trump? Yeah.
He was on his show, The Apprentice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I forget about this.
He was fired twice by Donald Trump on the show named Apprentice.
Yeah. Oh yeah, our president's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Fuck, I remember that when I was in high school.
Leading negotiator with the highest rebounds to ever negotiate a nuclear disarmament.
Yeah, but yeah, he was actually very emotional.
Dennis Rodman was
very emotional in his interview on CNN.
What is the pot coin?
a Potcoin that is one of his sponsors.
Potcoin is a cryptocurrency based on the
transferring
marijuana. I don't know, what are they, distributors market. Or whatever, yeah. Market.
It's just, to me, it's just another bullshit, like, scam.
What? Cryptocurrency?
Yeah.
Or this meeting?
The Potcoin.
The Potcoin. Well,
the Potcoin thing, but
You don't have nuggets invested in Potcoin?
Yeah, what the fuck, dude? What is this? It's like a fucking spam app when you download a new app. It's like, fuck, yeah. I don't want these ads when I'm playing Angry Birds. Of some bullshit. Like Potcoin, cryptocurrency, and you have to play this little dumb mini game. You know, those little weird things. Either way.
Is it ran by the Cottonmouth Kings?
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It might be. Yeah. But either way, Dennis Rodman, he started crying. And he was like, I feel like he hit some weird points in that.
Well, do you remember how this started with Dennis Rodman even being in Korea?
Because Kim Jong-un is a fan of
basketball.
Yeah, and he's like really a fan of the Bulls.
And so Dennis Rodman goes, and I think I remember seeing this on Vice, like the first time like American basketball players like showed up, and you know Dennis Rodman comes back and after like some meeting is just like, yeah man, he's such a cool guy. Yeah, this country is full of really like great people.
Then they made that movie, The Interview, as he was going over there. You remember that?
I don't. Yeah. I don't remember that. I remember he did the interview coming back.
No,
they bring the
Judd Apatow crew. Yeah. They did a movie called The Interview where it was like.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. I thought
it was like mocking that whole interview. Dennis Rodman type thing, which is funny.
So when Dennis Rodman did an actual interview,
yeah,
he was wearing this really awesome suit that very much inspired me trying to get a money suit.
Yeah, you got one.
I got one. But yeah. So Dennis Rodman comes back and is completely oblivious to the fact that the majority of that country is living in severe poverty.
Yeah,
and you know that Kim Jong-un has committed any sort of violent crimes against people, let alone relatives.
Yeah.
And it's like if someone comes to America and gets put up in like the 5-star hotels, only eats at like top restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, it gets everything sort of comped and it's just like America is amazing, you know. And you don't really realize it, like poverty exists, or yeah, that there are different kinds of people besides wealthy, privileged people.
Yeah, and of course, we're only going to show you, like, you're only going to get shown the good stuff. Like, you have to, like, immerse yourself in someone's culture or environment to actually see the good and bad things. But, I feel like there was, like, one thing that he was, like, saying that was good. It's like, he was, like, he really just wants to be there to be, the liaison for like bringing sports into North Korea.
What was his name?
Because they kept asking him political questions. Political questions.
The worm back in the day.
The worm.
But he was something else. It wasn't just I've never heard of the worm.
Oh, that's some back in the day stuff. When he was on the Pistons and the Bulls.
Oh. Mm.
The worm.
Yeah. But was it but yeah, I think he was like trying to like avoid political questions, and which was cool. But I like really don't want to hear anything political from Dennis Rodman.
Well, but that's the thing. He has nothing political to say.
Yeah.
Like,
he kept saying 5 years ago, right?
Wait, say what?
He kept saying, like, 5 years ago we had a meeting.
That's when he went.
Well, that's when the first time he went.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, just real quick, roughly around that time, maybe 4 years ago, this industrial band, Laibach, do you guys know this band?
No.
Kind of like a 80s Eastern European industrial band played North Korea, and they were like the first like Western band to play there.
Yeah.
And tickets were for sale, and I was really, really considering going. I was very close to going, but I just felt like talking to people who actually went on that basketball trip, that you basically are shuttled around in a bus. Like, you don't get to, like, leave your hotel and just be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah,
you know, downstairs level of my hotel, you know, or like, yeah, walk down the street and like buy something. You get shuttled to like a grocery store that you are the only person in the grocery store, you know, besides a bunch of like kind of like actors, like making sure you're having a good time. And then you get shuttled like to the, they got shuttled to like the basketball game. And I was imagining that basically I would just get shuttled to the grocery store and then shuttled to like the heavy music concert and then shuttled back to the hotel room. And it seemed like just too pricey to do that. You know, there's no way I could get 11 likes on Instagram, you know, off of
It'd
just my hotel room.
That'd be a cool story. Yeah, here I am. I'm on my way to the fucking concert. Yeah.
Me and Dennis Rodman have a lot in common.
Look at us.
But
Vienna. It's whack.
It's so weird we're in this age where celebrities who probably at some point in their lives have no relation to common people are somehow on top of the world, basically, I don't know, like invested in policy that affects our lives. But I guess that's always the way it's been, right? Like, maybe 15 years ago, no senator really understood what it's like to, you know, work for a living.
I don't know, actually.
I would love to be a senator.
Well, time is right, man.
15 years ago.
15 years ago, yeah.
What, do you got a bad record now?
Good.
Good.
I could run.
You're still electable.
Yeah. I'm a likable person.
Well...
Well, got any cash-ins or cash-outs to close out? Anything you're, like, about or not with?
I mean, I'm cashing in hard on gardening. You know, I've talked about it, like, 5 times since we've been here. But, like, gardening is my summer jam. And it's cashing all the way in, using all my cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
That's probably some green thumb currency thing. I actually looked, when I was looking at that interview for the first time earlier today, that Dennis Rodman shit, I, like, side-windowed pot.com, whatever.
Potcoin.
Potcoin. There's a lot of weird other ones associated with it. There's, like, 4 other cryptocurrencies with it, and there's just, like, ton of cryptocurrencies out there now.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of cryptocurrencies, and I think everyone's gambling, literally gambling that, like, you know, everyone has that story of Bitcoin, someone putting in $100 and all of a sudden it's worth $50,000. So I don't know, cryptocurrency, I feel like an old man, but it's still, I don't really quite understand
any
it
interest.
And it seems a lot like investing in ideas, you know. I don't know. But brilliant, like, move by Potcoin. Props to Potcoin
for throwing
for,
it. I mean, they
for flying Dennis Rodman out and making sure he wears a t-shirt that says Potcoin the entire time.
I guess I
time
gave them some money just for Googling it. Well, I gave something.
I mean, I'm that pretty sure the search engine.
Yeah, I did something.
Yeah, it was not a good design, but it was effective.
Oh, no, what?
It was effective.
Just a fucking athletic tee with Potcoin on it.
Yeah, but it was effective because the Potcoin.com is really close to his neck, so anytime he's doing an interview, that's way up top.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something underneath?
Well, yeah, a big pot leaf that says, like, cryptocurrency Potcoin.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck.
You don't need a good design. You just need it to be legible.
I'm cashing in on... Well, I'm cashing out on this weather. We were talking about that previously, how we haven't...
It's a beautiful day today.
Today it is, but just... That's just today, I feel like. I'm rather weather depressed or rather deprived or something. I don't know. I don't have faith in the weather anymore.
Ever need to talk, just give me a call.
Yeah, I want to talk about it. Like, but I'm cashing out on that. Like, I lost faith in fucking a real summer day or like spring. It's like
I'm
spring.
Kind of okay with it. I love like the cool nights.
I love the cool nights and the gray days, but I like... It's some form of consistency. Like,
I hate the heat.
For like a week. Like, just give me a week of something.
We had a week of rain.
Well,
you want that again?
Not Not a rain.
The rain.
Something nice. You got anything you want to cash in on, Matt?
Cashing in on working all the fucking time. Yeah, cashing out.
Right.
On working.
All those both. Fat stacks from working that kitchen.
All the time.
What else we got? We got tastings coming up soon, Damien. Yeah.
We got a bunch of summer shorts that hopefully will be ready in about a month. You're doing an interesting project.
Yep. With my little industry segment, interviewing and expressing some highlights of industry workers that do cool shit, I guess you could say. I have like a little side job of some sort or interest and hobbies.
Which be I feel cool. Sometimes is like an annoying question that I feel a lot of people probably in the industry get is,
yeah, what do you do?
What do you really do?
Yeah. What do you're not at work? Like, what? What does it matter? That's like just the question of what do you do, period. People's like when you're just out hanging out, like, well, I'm hanging out right now.
Yeah.
It's like the opener. Besides the weather, which is always easy. But that's just very awkward moment. Bullshit. Conversation filler.
You know, I feel like people at this point in my life only ask me what I do when I'm like around my son. When it's like some sort of like kid related things and yeah. You're like a bunch of parents stuck in the kitchen. Because obviously I'm in the kitchen eating as much food as possible.
That's where you always
go. Oh, you put a plate out? Thanks. What do? I eat all your food you put out. Was it for the kids? Was for the kids.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, then awesome. It's like, so where do you live? Like blah, blah, blah. Like what school did your kid go to? So what do you do?
Yeah. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. To me, it's always an awkward moment. You know, it's like, oh, God, what do I do?
How long you got?
Yeah. Well, not even that. It's just like, oh, you're like the CEO of this Potcoin bitcurrency.
Somehow, yeah, you're chilling with the Potcoin guy.
I'm selling drinks.
I think I'm gonna meet your son.
Yeah. he's adorned in the Potcoin jumper.
All right. Well, yeah, we can call that a show. Shout out to DiMaggio somewhere being international.
God, I can't believe we'd even talk about where he was.
He's in Russia right now.
He's watching the World Cup.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. LP just hightailed it down to Miami for a Black Arts Film Festival for a couple of days. Spreading the word of long sleeve service throughout the corners of the earth.
With his impeccable drinking skills.
Yes. Yeah. And LP is ordering coffee and with
acting baffled.
Yeah. Dancing on ice somewhere, maybe. I don't know.
Schmoozing.
Yeah, we miss those guys. Shout out to their cats and their moms and their boyfriends and their girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Whatever. No boyfriends. I don't know. Yeah. You got any shout outs?
Nothing new.
Yeah, your friends, your family, the city.
And my garden.
And your garden. Ooh, it's green down here. Matt, you got any shout outs? Get some pumpkins.
Shout out to all the pumpkins in South Philly.
Pumpkins are booming.
I wouldn't refer to women that way.
We'd rather plant some blue ones later today. Blue pumpkins.
I can definitely.
Yeah. Alright, peace out, man.
Peace. Walk it like a tuck it. Walk it like a tuck it. Hey. Walk it like a tuck it. Walk it. Walk it like a tuck it. Walk it. Walk it like a tuck it. Walk it. Walk it like a tuck it. Woo. Walk it like a tuck it. Talk it. Walk it like a tuck it. Hey.